ॐ अज्ञान तिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाखय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्य नाम्ने गौरत्वशे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूप स्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकाम् त्रिनादपि सुनिश्चेन तरोरिव सहिष्णुना अमानिना मनदेन कीर्तनीय सदा हरि हरे नाम हरेनाम एव केवलम् किलौ नास्त्येव 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 गतिरन्यथा ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे I'm going to read this evening some excerpts from the Vedic scripture, which is sometimes referred to as the fifth Veda, Sri Mahabharata. And the purpose is to glean spiritual teachings. The scene is prior to the battle at Kurukshetra. The Pandavas have finished their 13 years of living in the forest. They have spent the final year living incognito in the kingdom of Matsya as disguised guests of King Bhirata. Now, they are supposed to, according to the agreement, they are supposed to get back their kingdom, Indraprastha. But Dhritarashtra and his sons, headed by the evil Duryodhan, are not inclined to keep their part of the bargain. Krishna is about to visit Dhritarashtra in Hastinapur, and he is going to plead the case for Dhritarashtra to return the kingdom to Yudhishthira. Sanjaya, Dhritarashtra's secretary and close confidant, has given advice to Dhritarashtra, but he cannot accept because Sanjaya is also telling him what he doesn't want to hear. Sanjaya is also telling him that he should return the half of the kingdom to the Pandavas. So I pick up here, and now we will hear how Dhritarashtra's brother, Vidura, also will advise him in the same way. After Sanjaya left, Dhritarashtra sat alone, his mind racked by painful thoughts. Everything depended upon him. It would surely be just to return Indraprastha to Yudhishthira, but Duryodhan would never agree. And besides, would Dhritarashtra be able to check Duryodhan? It had been almost 20 years since Dhritarashtra had assumed the throne. Now he was the lord of the earth, that is, he and Duryodhan, his empowered representative. To give Yudhishthira his kingdom would end all that. The self-effulgent Pandavas would soon reestablish their supremacy over their cousins. He and Duryodhan would then be eclipsed. So here is the first port where we can learn something practical in our spiritual lives. We learn from Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita that there are three gates which lead to Naraka, to hell: lust, anger, and greed. So Duryodhan is too attached. The thought of giving up supremacy is unbearable to him, and even more so to Duryodhan. So we learn in the Bhagavad Gita that one should not be attached to material things. In the Bhagavad Gita, various reasons are given why one should not be attached. First of all, one reason why we should not be attached to anything material is that ultimately we will have to give it up. Even our very body, which is material, at the time of death, we will have to give up the body, which is our dearmost possession. What to speak of all the things related to the body, like wife, children, family, home, bank balance? These things are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam by Shukadeva Goswami when he begins his spiritual instructions to Raja Parikshit. He says, "These are all fallible soldiers. We depend on these things. We take shelter of these things. But they are fallible. And we cannot take even one paisa with us when it's time to leave this world behind." Another reason, from the spiritual point of view, why we should not be attached to any material object is because that very attachment prevents us from achieving liberation. According to the Vedic philosophy, the goal of life is liberation, moksha, mukti. But if I am attached even to one rasgulla, I will not be able to achieve liberation. Here Dhritarashtra and his son Duryodhan are attached to ruling the earth. Indeed, there is a chapter in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the song of Mother Earth. In the Bhagavatam, there is the song of Lord Shiva. There is the song of the gopis. And there's also the song of Mother Earth. Mother Earth's song laughs at all the kings of the world. Mother Earth says, "There have been many great kings who tried to possess me. They're gone, and I'm still here." Mother Earth laughs. And she lists so many great kings, good and bad. She says, "They tried to possess me, but where are they now? They're just a memory, but I still remain." Attachment is that which prevents us from our liberation. So let us continue with this excerpt. The self-effulgent Pandavas would soon establish their supremacy over their cousins, and he and Duryodhan would be eclipsed. The king felt his limbs tremble. Having had such power, it would be worse than death to have it taken away. Although it was late, Dhritarashtra felt he needed to hear from Vidura. No one could offer him impartial, thoughtful advice like Vidura. The king asked that Vidura be summoned, and within a short time, Vidura entered the chamber. So Vidura is the younger brother of Dhritarashtra. He is the youngest of the three. But we should know who Vidura actually is. Vidura is none other than Yamaraj. He was cursed, believe it or not. A rishi was able to curse Yamaraj because he did not agree with his judgment. So, Vidura, or Yamaraj, agreed to take birth as a Shudra. But for him, it was actually vacation. Because he was going to appear during the time of the Krishna avatar. And we see in this Mahabharata and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vidura is coming in and out of many leelas, and he gets quality time with his lovable Lord and Master, Sri Krishna. So Vidura didn't mind the curse. It was very good for him. But Vidura, being Yamaraj, who else knows what is right and wrong? He's the judge. He is the judge of everyone. In order for one to be the judge, he has to know the law. And if you accept the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam, Yamaraj has the same mental capacity as the Supersoul himself. He is directly empowered by Krishna, and therefore his judgments are correct. I guess except the one time with that sage. I guess there are exceptions to every rule. So Dhritarashtra, all throughout the Mahabharata, even from the beginning, Vidura was always giving his brother very good advice. Starting with When Duryodhan was born, there were no conch shells. There were no flowers falling from the knoll. When Duryodhan was born, jackasses were sounding. Fires were blazing from nowhere. The winds were howling. The earth was quaking. These are not auspicious signs. So, Vidura told his brother, abandon this child immediately. He will be the cause of the destruction of your dynasty. But, again, the sin of attachment. Even though Dhritarashtra hears this attachment, he cannot give up his first son. So, the drama begins right there. And throughout so many episodes, Vidura repeatedly warns his brother, advises his brother, but Dhritarashtra does not hear him. But now in this scenario here, Dhritarashtra is very disturbed. So he's thinking, maybe Vidura will say something. Let's see what Vidura says. Within a short time, Vidura entered the chamber. He spoke to his brother. O you of great wisdom, here I am, Vidura, at your command. Order me. What can I do for you? I am your servant. The king welcomed him warmly and had him sit by his side. Dhritarashtra spoke in somber tones. O Vidura, I have just spoken with Sanjay. He has strongly criticized me. He has not yet told me what Yudhishthir said, and now I am anxious. My body is burning, and I cannot sleep. Tell me how to cure my condition. What had happened? Dhritarashtra had sent Sanjaya to find out what the Pandavas' next move was going to be. And the Pandavas and Krishna told Sanjaya, well, according to the agreement, the 13 years are up. You are supposed to give us back our kingdom. You don't give us back our kingdom, we have no other option. Go to war. And Sanjaya saw how angry Bhima was. And he saw how powerful is Arjuna, because during these 13 years, Arjuna has gone to heaven. He has had a great fight with Lord Shiva. He has gotten so many celestial weapons, weapons that you cannot find on earth. Arjuna has done amazing things. Even his own father Indra has given him the thunderbolt. And Arjuna even defeated these certain Nivakatachas, these certain demons that even his father could not defeat. Arjuna defeated them. Yudhishthir, in the forest, what's he been doing? He's not been playing dice. He has been associating with rishis, sages, Vyasadeva, Krishna, Markandeya. He has been spending the 13 years performing asceticism, studying the scriptures, and amassing more and more pious credits. And Bhima, that anger and revenge is just building and building. And so many times Bhima has said to his brother, "This, give me the permission, give me the word. I will go right now and I will kill Duryodhan and all of them right now." Yudhishthira says, "No. Control your anger, Bhima." But inside, Bhima is just waiting for the chance. Because Bhima vowed, when Draupadi was dishonored and that sinful Duryodhan slapped his thigh and exposed his thigh and told Draupadi, "Come sit." Bhima vowed, "I will kill all of them." So, and Sanjaya has also informed them, guess what? Who is going to be on the Pandava side? Janardhan. And not everybody accepted Krishna as Bhagavan, but everybody knew what Krishna had done. It wasn't a secret. They all knew that Krishna killed Kamsa when Krishna was 11 years old. So they all knew that Krishna, we don't know exactly what he is, but we know what he's done. He has killed so many. And they were all there at the Rajasuya sacrifice when Krishna killed Shishupal. They all saw that, every one of them. So it wasn't that Krishna was completely, that they were not blindsided. So when Sanjaya came back and reported, he hasn't reported yet what the Pandavas have said, but he said, "I'm going to tell you what I think. What's going to happen, my master? You're done. You're finished. Your sons are going to be destroyed. Don't fight with the Pandavas." That was what Sanjaya said. You got to understand, Sanjaya is Dhritarashtra's secretary. It's not easy for the secretary to tell the boss that he's wrong. It's kind of hard. Because a lot of times if you go to the boss and tell him, "Boss, you're a fool," what will the boss say? "All right, here's your pink slip, goodbye." But Sanjaya is actually Dhritarashtra's well-wisher. So he's not, and besides, Sanjaya also cares about the Kuru nation. So Sanjaya knows, we're done. We're going to be finished here. So Sanjaya spoke, as you like to say sometimes, told him on his face. Vidura, who had been called from his prayer and meditation, replied. This is very interesting here. This is what Vidura told his brother. "Sleeplessness overpowers one who has been attacked by a stronger man. Sleeplessness overpowers the weak. Sleeplessness overpowers those who have failed to attain their goal. Sleeplessness overpowers those who have been robbed. Sleeplessness overpowers those consumed by desire. And sleeplessness overpowers thieves. I hope, my brother, that you do not fall into any of these categories. O king, nor I hope that you are not greedy for another's wealth." So that's the real thing. That is a subtle way of telling Dhritarashtra, because that's exactly what Dhritarashtra is doing. Greedy for another's wealth. Not giving the half of the kingdom that is supposed to be given to the Pandavas now means Dhritarashtra is guilty of the sin, greed. And I said out at the very beginning, the last gate to hell, greed. Vidura knew well the king's dilemma. He had discussed it with him on countless occasions, always offering him the same advice, but Dhritarashtra had always ignored it. Vidura had repeatedly warned him of the eventual outcome of his acts, an outcome which was now imminent. Dhritarashtra was obviously realizing that fact. The king turned his head toward Vidura. "My dear brother, speak wisdom to me. Speak those words which are at once morally uplifting and also calculated to secure my welfare." Vidura's affection for his brother never waned, despite his brother's foolishness. He patiently advised him for his own good, praying that one day the blind king would come to his senses. Perhaps now, with the approach of calamity, he would become more thoughtful. Vidura then said, "Yudhishthir is a king graced with all auspicious marks. Yudhishthir is fit to rule the world. You should have kept him near you, but instead you exiled him. For this blindness you are condemned, O king." So Dhritarashtra was not just blind physically. He was blind morally, and he was blind spiritually. "You are condemned, although you know what is virtue. Because he is inoffensive, kind, forgiving, and a lover of truth, Yudhishthir remembers your supremacy and patiently bears the hardships you have inflicted upon him." Earlier in this Mahabharata, when the Pandavas are early in the forest, there is a section where Draupadi tries to say to Yudhishthir that your tolerance and forgiveness is not moral, and that you are a Kshatriya, and that is moral for you to fight and get back your kingdom because you were cheated. And then Yudhishthir speaks to Draupadi and the rest of the Pandavas, and by this time many sages and rishis have gathered to hear Yudhishthir speak. And Yudhishthir goes on explaining the glory of forgiveness. And he also says, on the contrary, that those who give in to anger will ultimately be destroyed themselves. So Yudhishthir's forgiveness was based on knowledge, not out of cowardice. He patiently bears the hardships you have inflicted upon him. Having bestowed lordship of the world upon Duryodhan, who bears enmity toward Yudhishthir, how can you now expect peace and prosperity? Vidura had himself received many instructions from rishis and sages, and he sought their association whenever it was available. So, here's a good point. Whenever we have an opportunity to associate with a bona fide saintly person, that is a very good opportunity that should not be wasted. So if you have a chance to hear or serve someone who is virtuous, pious, spiritual. It is for your own benefit that you take advantage of that association. Recalling the words of wisdom he had gathered from different saints, Vidura became more gentle with Dhritarashtra as he continued to instruct him. In other words, there are many different ways to administer medicine. There are different kinds of preachers. A preacher is a spiritual doctor and he administers medicine. But not all preachers deliver the medicine the same way. I've seen this myself. I've seen preachers who become very fiery, angry, yelling. That is how they deliver the medicine. They scare you. You're going to hell! Other preachers, they're very soft, loving. You like them? Provided they deliver the medicine. Not just soft, soft, and loving, but no medicine, no placebo. I like to consider myself in between. Would you agree? I try. So Vidura now knows, okay, I'm going to give him some more harsh medicine. I'll be a little gentle with him. The king listened attentively. Vidura said, "One is said to be a wise man who cannot be deviated from his duties, deviated by anger or exultation, pride, lust, or ignorance." Yes, all of these are different ways one can not do their duty. Sometimes when we're angry, we don't do our prescribed duty. Or sometimes we're in a very happy, happy mood and we become lax in our duties. Or pride, or lust, or ignorance. So these are all causes. And we know from the Bhagavad Gita, performance of prescribed duty is essential. There's a key verse in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, one that I find very dear for myself, where Krishna tells Arjuna, "Arjuna, I want you to go on remembering me, but at the same time, think of me." Very, very instructive. Remember me and simultaneously fight. So for myself, I have found this to be a very, very fundamental life principle. Attachment to the saintly, renouncing the association of blameworthy men, and maintaining faith and reverence toward elders are also signs of the wise. So, you can see the difference between Duryodhan and Yudhishthir. Let's take a look. Duryodhan has not renounced the association of blameworthy men. Because who is Duryodhan's buddy? Shakuni. I don't think he falls into the category of blameworthy. I think he does. He's supposed to renounce that. And Dushasan. Maintaining faith and reverence towards elders. I don't think Duryodhan falls into that category. Because even when his father tries to stop him, Duryodhan and Shakuni figure out a way to get around the system. And later on, when Krishna speaks in the assembly, Duryodhan is so bad, he makes a plan. We will capture Krishna. And then the Pandavas will be finished. Of course, the plan backfires. But just see his mentality, that he wants to capture Krishna. Krishna was invited to the assembly. So that's amazing. You invite someone to your home with the intent, I'm going to capture him. So now let's see how this applies to Yudhishthir. He has definitely renounced the association of blameworthy men, who is, I already pointed out, in this 13 years in the forest, who has he been associating with? Rishis, sages, Brahmins, who have been accompanying him. And Yudhishthir has definitely maintained faith and reverence toward the elders. Because every time Bhima wants to bring up the idea that let's go fight, Yudhishthir is saying, no, we have to act exemplary. And Yudhishthir is always still respectful to Dhritarashtra. A wise man acts in accordance with religion, pursuing a course that benefits him in both in this life and the next. And that is one of the arguments Krishna will give. Krishna, before the battle, Krishna speaks to the assembly. Krishna speaks to Karna even. One of my favorite parts, where Krishna tells Karna, look, Karna, come join the Pandavas. They will accept you as their elder brother. And then the kicker, the one that would have done it for me, Krishna told Karna, and in time, Draupadi will approach you like a husband. Hello! Right there. That would, okay, sign me up. But Karna cannot accept. It's amazing. That section, hearing how Krishna speaks to Karna, makes me love Krishna so much. So nice. Krishna tried so many times, so many ways to prevent. Yes, because Krishna said, I'm going to go with a peace plan. But Krishna also said, but I know they're not going to accept it. So I know there's going to be a war, but at least he gave a peace plan. Because Krishna said, I don't want to be in history to be the one who was the cause of the war. And it's pointed out repeatedly in this whole Leela. The choice, the cause, is Dhritarashtra. It was his action or non-action, whichever way you want to look at it. It was all in his hands. All he had to do was censure his son. That's all. He was still the king. And several times it was mentioned, Dhritarashtra, just arrest your son. Everything will be saved. That's all. That's all he had to do. Give the word, and Duryodhana's done. But that's sin. Attachment. It's a big one. Big one. And one of the arguments that's made, because in the assembly, different rishis come and they try to get Krishna comes. And they point out to Duryodhan and to Dhritarashtra, the course of action you're taking is not good for you in this life or the next, because you're not going to win. And in your next life, you're going to reap the results of your sinful decisions. Here's an interesting point. A wise man acts in accordance with religion, rather than one that offers only immediate pleasure. This is something that we all have to deal with. There is these two terms, prayas and shreyas. Prayas means this thing here, immediate pleasure. I will do this thing because I'm going to get a return immediately. That's prayas. But the wise choose shreyas. A decision, it's not going to necessarily give me immediate pleasure, but eventually, like a fruit on a tree. You have to take care of the tree. It's not the spiritual world where the fruit just boop. No. When you grow a fruit tree, it takes time. But then, if you do it nicely, your tree will become filled with mangoes, your favorite fruit. Sri Sri Radha Raman Bhagavan Ki. Or what you told your children, because I know Indian families. You told your children, work hard, go to school, study, don't waste your life so that you will get good job, nice marriage, and be happy in the future. Didn't you all tell your children? Sometimes your children said, but we want to do this. No. You told them. Because this concept of shreyas is there in an Aryan family. An Aryan family meaning one who understands that there is a higher purpose to life. Animals, they don't know prayas and shreyas. Animals only know what is my... Something smells? Okay. Animals now don't have sense control. It's impossible for an animal... So if a human being has no sense control, he's called Dvipada Pashu. Two-legged animal. Sense control is so vital to a cultured human being. So this is a fundamental principle. Shreyas. It's the same thing that's explained in Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita chapter 18, Krishna explains there's three kinds of happiness. Happiness in the mode of goodness, passion, ignorance. Happiness in the mode of goodness means you go through austerity, you go through a little discomfort, but eventually it turns to nectar. Happiness in the mode of passion, what happens? In the beginning, really good, but as time goes on, right? One rasgulla, two rasgullas, three, four, five. And happiness in the mode of ignorance? It's an illusion. You think you're enjoying, but actually you are suffering like anything. Intoxication. Happiness in the mode of ignorance. Vidura is speaking to his brother. Wise men do not lament for what is lost, nor do they hanker for the unattainable. Yes, another symptom of tamogun. You want something which is impossible for you to have. And another symptom of ignorance, you're always lamenting. You lament for yourself. Why I didn't get that raise? Why this? Why? No. And in the Bhagavad Gita, the self-realized man, nasochati Nakangshati. Doesn't lament, doesn't hanker. Why? He knows better. They rejoice in virtuous deeds and they shun sin. The opposite of Duryodhana and Yudhisthira. Where do you read in Mahabharata Duryodhana rejoicing in virtuous deeds? You don't find that. Duryodhana instead rejoices in sin. Yudhisthira rejoices. Oh, we have to go to the forest for 13 years? We will accept. I have not read anything where Yudhisthira is lamenting other than guilt that he feels responsible for their predicament. But in the forest, Yudhisthira is actually happy. There is the one part where Yudhisthira realizes, hey, I'm in the forest, I'm with saints and sages and Brahmins. So it's described, Yudhisthira begins to enjoy life in the forest. Hey, I don't have to deal with the politics. Here I am in the forest. I can learn the Vedic scriptures. I'm associating with saintly persons. This is actually good. That's when Draupadi starts to get worried. That's why what I mentioned before, Draupadi is thinking, uh-oh. Yudhisthira is forgetting. He's now happy in the forest. Maybe he won't fight. Maybe he won't maintain my honor, because Draupadi, like Bhima, wants revenge. Draupadi is not, happy camper. All Draupadi can remember is that Asat Sabha. And she's not going to be happy until Bhima does what he vowed. So Yudhisthira and Duryodhana are like night and day. Vidura said, the wise understand this world to be temporary and miserable. Oh, somebody else says that in the Bhagavad Gita. Dukhalayam Ashasvatam, 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. I always like to point out, when you buy something, a piece of equipment, you read the manual, hopefully, and the manufacturer will tell you, now, the appliance will work under these conditions, but don't do this, right? Because the manufacturer knows, because he made it. So I find this statement by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita very telling. Because Krishna is the manufacturer of this material world, and the manufacturer is telling you, hello, this place that I created is temporary and miserable. Huh? I can't hear you. Why did he do that? Because when the government creates a prison, do they make it a place for the prisoners to enjoy? They're not going to create a country club for the prisoners. Yes, please break the law, and now you can come to a nice country. No, they're not. No, I don't think so. So, one of the fundamental teachings of the Vedas is that this material world is a prison. Some people find that hard to accept. But enough for that. The manufacturer is saying this world is temporary and miserable. Now, if you don't like that, then take it up with Krishna, the manufacturer. Not with his salesman. Okay, let's finish up. The wise recognize God's supremacy and their own position as His servants. All the acts of the wise are aimed at pleasing the Lord and achieving His eternal abode. So that's another answer. If Krishna made this place wonderful, we wouldn't want to return back to Him. Right? So he designs it that way so that we finally come to our senses. Yes, Krishna, I realize this is not where I want to be. I want to come home. So that's another answer to your question. On the other hand, a fool is proud, even though ignorant, vain, and poor. Fools try to achieve prosperity through sin and hanker after others' property, resorting to deceit and violence. A fool thinks nothing of hurting others to achieve one's nefarious ends. Like Kamsa, it is described, why did Kamsa arrest his own father Ugrasena? Because Kamsa wanted undisputed sovereignty. Same thing Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana. They don't want the Pandavas there because Duryodhana now won't be completely sovereign. So that is the fool. And we have seen even in modern times, these dictators do the same thing. Political parties do that all the time. Oh, this guy's my enemy? Get rid of him. Knock him off. That's all. So according to Vidura / parenthesis Yamaraj, that's a fool. A fool forsakes that which should be attained and desires that which should not be desired. Same thing in Bhagavad Gita, in the description of a demon. He doesn't know what should be done and what should not be done. He takes religion to be irreligion, and irreligion to be religion. That's a demon, according to Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. The fool is faithless, makes no offerings to the ancestors, and worships only him or herself. Vanity. That's the devil's favorite sin. Vanity. Arrogant, angry, and of harsh speech, the fool lacks discrimination and befriends those who should be his foes while hating those worthy of friendship. Failing in one's endeavors, the fool blames others and punishes the innocent. Such persons are ultimately destroyed to their roots. Vidura instructed Dhritarashtra well into the night. He tried his best to turn the old king's mind toward virtue and truth. He had nothing new to say to Dhritarashtra. The Kuru monarch had often heard such teachings. He agreed with everything, and he even enjoyed hearing it. As Vidura spoke, the king recognized his own foolishness and sinfulness, and he freely admitted them. He prompted Vidura to speak more and more, asking question after question. The night ended with Vidura pointing out the certain results that would ensue if the king did not act fairly toward the Pandavas. To be continued. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Yes, Prabhu. All I can say is, Dukalayam Ashashvatam. Yes, Rambai. Yamaraj. Yes, that you will learn in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yamaraj was once cursed by this Mandaka Muni. It seems that Mandaka Muni found a mistake in Yamaraj's judgment. So the Muni was able to curse Yamaraj. Pretty good. Something about a king had done something, and this Muni was there and arrested, and the punishment was going to be some severe punishment, but somehow the Muni escaped. So Yama, when it came time for the Muni to die, he asked Yamaraj, "Why was I about to be severely punished?" And Yamaraj pointed out, "When you were a child, you poked some kind of insect or something with a needle. So that's why he was going to get..." So Mandaka Muni said, "That was an innocent 5-year-old child, and for this you..." "No, I curse you." So Yamaraj accepted the curse, as I explained at the beginning. For Yamaraj, it was a vacation. Because he's taking birth during Krishna Leela, and he has now opportunity to be with the one that he loves, his Lord and Master, Sri Krishna. Yes, Prabhu? You remember now? Yes. Yes, Prabhu, you want to do the japa now? Okay.